world that we live in, and so many things, so many changes. Yeah, you know, you just stop just for a minute and think back 50 or 60 years of changes that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, microwaves and internet and cell phones, and it's just crazy anymore. We bought a new washer and dryer a while back. They got Bluetooth. I don't know why you need Bluetooth on a washer and dryer. I mean, you know, they don't put the clothes in. They don't take them out of one machine and put them in the other, but we paid for Bluetooth. We got a stove in the basement, the Canon stove. It's Wi-Fi enabled. I guess if you just throw the green beans down in the basement, it'll can them for you, maybe. I ain't real sure. I'm not too technical. I haven't figured it all out yet. I really ain't. My truck, every time I get in and start it up, there's a light comes on in the dashboard, tells me I got a flat tire or a low tire. I've got two tire sensors out, $100 a piece to get them replaced.
Yeah.
I'll just check them with an air gauge,
yeah,
you know, like we used to.
Yeah.
I don't care what my transmission temperature is. It makes no difference to me.
Yeah.
As long as it's still going, I'm good, you know. Some changes are good. Cars, come over here in Susie's car, and if you turn loose of the steering wheel, it'll straighten you back up. If you get over on the center line, it'll move you over. If you hit that line on the edge of the road, it'll move you back over. And no wonder people don't know how to drive anymore. It's amazing, you know. Some things are good and some's not so good. You know, a lot of things have changed. Drug use has went crazy. Pornography is prevalent.
Right.
The definition of marriage has changed.
Yeah.
Now I think there's 17 different genders that you can check off as to what you claim to be. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
But in all the craziness, there's one thing that's remained the same.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. I tell you now. You know, COVID came and everything changed when COVID happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still trying to figure out, they never will, but where it came from, what caused it and all that. We're not going to get into that tonight, but I did watch some TV preachers while some of the churches were closed down, and I found out, I was enlightened by some of those TV preachers that there's about a half a dozen different ways to go to heaven.
Wow.
I mean, it's just unbelievable what you can hear on the television.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you know, I think we all have learned one thing through what's been going on in America is you can't believe what you hear on TV. But you can believe everything you read in this old book. And I'm glad. I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture tonight. You'll know it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
Yes. Amen.
I'm just going to stop right there. That'll preach, brother. It'll preach. I am so thankful that we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Nothing else. You can't add anything to it and you can't take anything away, but the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Of course, you know, if you got a death, you have to have a birth, and the whole story of Christ comes into play there, but the gospel is the power of salvation. And thinking about what happened in COVID and all the different things that I heard from different preachers on TV, I got to thinking about what kind of salvation do I want? What kind of salvation do I want? So I got a few things I'd just like to share with you tonight. I want a salvation that's established and based upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, and nothing else. I mean, I don't want to have to go through some ritual to go to heaven. I don't want to have to sign some covenant to go to heaven or anything like that. I just want a salvation that's based upon something that will not change. Everything's changing, but I want my salvation based on something that will not change. And my Bible tells me, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven." And so I want my salvation established and based upon the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I want a salvation that I can count on. This old book, this is the only perfect thing on the face of the earth. The only thing that's perfect. Perfect from beginning to end. I want to tell you tonight, it's inspired. It's God-breathed. It's alive. It's not just another book. It's not just another, example of what man can do. But it's the inspired, the God-breathed bread of life. It is infallible. You can trust it. There's no contradictions. Some of these so-called theologians want to come around and they say, "Well, this contradicts that and this..." Just like the story I told you last night about, Matthew said two blind men, and Luke and John said one blind man, and that doesn't contradict. It's just a different viewpoint. And I'm glad tonight that it's infallible, that we can believe in it, that it's inerrant, that it does not contain. There are no mistakes in this book. None whatsoever, from cover to cover, from beginning to end. Now, I'm talking about this book, this old KJV book. I'm not talking about some other book.
Amen.
You know, you can call this a Bible. You can call them other things anything you want to.
Yes.
But I don't think Bible is the proper terminology.
Right.
Some of them, the devil's a big imitator.
Yes, he
has a counterfeit for everything that God has.
Yes, he does.
And one of these days, when the rapture, when we're out of here, and he comes forth in the tribulation period and going to do all his evil work, he's going to have a book called the Bible.
Sure he will.
Yeah, it's going to be called the Bible, and it's going to have the blood written out of it. It's going to have the Son written out of it. It's just going to be a book. They're working on it right now.
Yeah, yes they are.
Sure. They're working on it. Just like the Jews are working on the red heifer. I mean, they've already got it. They developed a red heifer years ago that they're going to use to sanctify the temple with. It's already a living, real thing.
Right.
And just think about it. But the devil's going to have a false book. It's unparalleled. And what it says, its author is God. Even though it was written by the hand of man, it was divinely inspired in every word and every line. And just think about it. Think about how it never changes. God never changes. Sin never changes. The plan of salvation never changes. The doom of sinner never changes. The hope of mankind is written in this book. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God loves you. God send His Son to die in your place, that you, through accepting Him, through believing on the blood that He shed on Calvary, that you can have life and hope and joy and peace and life eternal. You can have your name written in the book tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Indelible ink.
Yes.
I believe it's written with the blood.
Yes, sir.
I believe the Bible tells me that Christ's blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. Now, I believe that's what they pin our names with. I do. Now, I don't have any Bible for that. I just said that's what I believe, okay? That's not doctrine. You know, churches today, they got doctrine and beliefs all mixed up. Plan of salvation and doctrine all mixed up and all that. Plan of salvation, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's still only one way to get to heaven. I've probably told you before, because I think I tell it everywhere I go. One of my favorite illustrations was Curtis Hudson, who was preached one night and talked about there's only one way to heaven. And after the service was over, a little lady, you know, there's a little lady that liked to straighten the preacher out when the service is over, tell you every mistake you made and all of that. And if I think of it, I'll tell you, give you another story in a minute. But anyhow, he had preached about that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, and she stopped him at the door and she said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." She said, "I believe there are many ways to heaven." "Well, Oprah does too, but she's going to spend eternity in hell if she's not careful."
Yeah, right.
But anyhow, she told him, she said, "I believe there are a lot of ways." She said, "It's just like going to the post office." She said, "You can go down this street and turn left, or you can go down that street and turn right, and you can go this way and you can go that way." And he listened to her very patiently. And when she'd finished, he said, "Well, ma'am, that's all very well and true." He said, "The only problem is I'm not going to the post office."
Right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
"I'm not going to the post office." He's, you know, heaven's my home.
Right.
Heaven is my home. Kind of reminds me of a story, and I do remember what I was going to tell you. God just puts various thoughts in a preacher's head when he gets up here. But it was about a little lady again. I don't remember who the preacher was, but in his preaching, he was a country boy, and he talked about britches. Now, y'all know what britches is, don't you? Yeah, I know y'all sophisticated over here in Nicholas County, but I was hoping you'd know what britches was. But anyhow, she stopped him at the door and she said, "Preacher," she said, "I believe your speech ought to be better than that. I don't think you should use the word britches when you preach." And he said, "Well, ma'am, I don't remember saying that word." He said, "What did I say before I said britches?" And she said, "Well, I don't remember." He said, "Well, what did I say after I said britches?" And she said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, I think if I hadn't said britches, you wouldn't remember anything I said." That's the way I feel sometimes when I preach. That the only thing you remember is my poor English or my mispronunciation or whatever it may be. But I tell you what, I'm thankful. This old book's eternal in its composition, inerrant in its content. I am thankful for it. It's impeccable in its character. It's friendly. It's inexpressible in its value. I had to write all this down. It's immeasurable in its influence. It's infallible in its authority. It's inspired in its totality. It is the Word of God. I haven't changed my mind about this book, and I'm not about to. I still believe in the virgin birth. I still believed in the victorious, perfect life that Christ lived here on this earth. I believe in the vicarious life that He lived. Vicarious just means that He lived in place of somebody else, in their stead. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the home in heaven. I believe it all, brother. I really do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And there ain't nothing and nobody going to change my mind. When you think about it, this old book stands like a mountain. It stands like Mount Everest, towering over every book that's ever been written. And it's the only living book in the world. The only living book forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
They've tried to destroy it. Voltaire said he made a plea that he was going to destroy it. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. You know, you can just... He said another century, he said, there'll not be a Bible left on the earth. And then they used his warehouse for Bible storage. You know, years and years later. Just think about it. This book has stood the test of time. I was privileged growing up that I lived about a quarter of a mile from my grandparents. My grandparents were old school and old ways and what have you. But my grandpa had a blacksmith shop. And I can remember going into his blacksmith shop, and he had ball peen hammers, he had cross peen hammers, he had straight peen hammers and all different kinds. And some of them, I mean, they were all battered up and they were all beat up. And he'd used them for years and years. And when a tool would break, he'd weld it back together and what have you. But that old anvil, there wasn't nothing wrong with that old anvil.
Right.
Right.
It done wore out all the hammers that Grandpa had. Yeah. And that's what this old book is.
Amen.
It's the old anvil that stands. It doesn't matter how people beat on it, how people abuse it, how people make fun of it. It has stood the test of time, and it's going to stand the test of time. I'm thankful for it tonight. I really am. I want a salvation that can erase my sins. I mean, I want my past gone, brother. You were talking tonight about what your past used to be, brother bass player. And I want to know that my sins are gone.
Yes,
I mean gone. Never to be brought up no more. Never to be remembered again. And I got that assurance from this old book. He said, I am he who blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. I get that assurance from the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of this book. I'm not ashamed of the power of this book. I'm not ashamed of the comfort of this book. It's the power of God unto salvation. If you get saved tonight, it's going to be because this old book speaks to your heart. It's not going to be because of anything that I say, anything that I do. It's going to be because the Holy Spirit of God in His omnipotence reaches down, stirs your conscience, brings you to a place of repentance and a place to realize where you need a Savior, and He'll save your soul for eternity. For eternity. All my life I've sinned. I haven't quit yet.
Right.
You know, it's not anything that I don't want a religion that burdens my soul.
Right.
I want some joy in the Christian life. I forget what his name was. I can't remember much anything anymore. But one of the famous sermons of days going by was called Payday Someday.
Right.
Some of these other preachers can tell you who preached it probably. Doesn't matter. But I'm not so much interested in a payday someday as I am in a payday today.
Right.
I want some joy today.
Yeah.
I know everything's going to be all right on down the road. Just like I told them over at Cedarville the other night, I think it was. Might have told y'all last night. I don't remember. But we were flying to Haiti one time, and there was a storm going on, and we were getting ready to take off. And the pilot come on the intercom, and he said, folks, he said, it's going to be rough down here for a little while, but after we get a little higher, it'll all smooth out.
Yeah.
I thought, amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
After we get a little higher, it'll all smooth out. We'll be done with the toils and the cares and the sorrow and the tears and the heartache and the heartbreak of this whole world once we get a little higher. Once we get a little closer to where God is and where God's going to be forever. I'm thankful that this book, that it can erase my sins. And we know that that God can give us a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Everybody knows, and preachers have been wearing it out for years, but just like the book says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. And all you got to do is just think about it. You can go east forever and ever,
right,
and never go west, but that's how far God's put our sins away from us. I want a salvation that makes me happy. I don't want to walk around with an old hound dog face with gloom, despair, and agony on me, and deep dark depression, and excessive misery, and all that junk. I mean, I had all that before I got saved. I don't want any. I want a salvation that'll give me a little bit of joy, and a little bit of peace, and a little bit of comfort. Just think about it. Just think how good God is. How good and how blessed we are to be able to call ourselves the children of God. I want a salvation that makes me enjoy praying, that makes me enjoy preaching, that allows me to enjoy laughter, to allows me to enjoy the everyday episodes of life, to be able to look at my wife and say, I love you, and enjoy spending time with her, having a home that's based upon what God wants a home to be. A lot of things is changing, but there's a lot of things that's not changing too. And I'm going to tell you something. There's still only one way to heaven. I've already told you that, but I'll tell you again, because we do need to be reminded that there is only one way. Always has been, always will be. I want a salvation that'll take me to heaven. I do. I want a salvation that will take me all the way to heaven. You can read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, and I don't know, you know, what your theory is on that, and it doesn't really matter because we'll just take what the book says. And but the, you know, the rich man died and was in hell.
Yeah.
And Lazarus woke up in heaven. Now just think about it. You see, that's the eternity that awaits every person under the sound of my voice tonight. You're going to either die and go to heaven, or you're going to die and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
There's no third choice.
That's right.
You're either in or you're out.
Right.
That's right.
Either get right or you'll get left.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Get right with God. Accept the salvation that He so freely gives you. I want to enjoy witnessing for my Lord.
Sure.
I want to enjoy singing. You all know I can't sing lick, but that doesn't mean God doesn't give me a song every once in a while. And if I have to croak it out, I'm going to croak it out. It's just the way it is, brother. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And as far as I'm concerned, having a little bit of joy down inside is a part of having Jesus. A part of having somebody that's closer than a brother. Somebody that's going to go with you all the way. Somebody that's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you, never let you walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone. Somebody's going to take you to the cemetery and bring you back home.
Right.
Good to have a Savior.
Amen.
I want a salvation that's going to take me to heaven. I want a salvation that so when my time comes to go, I can shout, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Brother, I know where I'm going. I know what God has in store for me. And I am so thankful for it. What about you tonight? What about you? What's your relationship with God?
Yeah.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yeah.
Now it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We can say to the alcoholic first and then to the drug addict. We can say to the prostitute and to the whatever.
Right.
You see, it's our gospel.
Yes, sir.
It's for us.
Yes.
It's for you.
Yes.
It's for me.
Yes.
We'll never get in any other way.
Yes, sir.
You can talk about working your way to heaven, but you can't find anywhere in this book where it'll tell you how much work you'd have to do.
That's right.
Or how hard you'd have to work.
Right.
Or how long you'd have to work.
Right.
I mean, it's just not in there. Salvation by grace through faith. That's God's plan. And He's not going to change it. He's not going to change it. God doesn't have a plan B.
Right.
That's right.
He had a plan A from a Garden of Eden. From a creation of Adam and Eve, God never had a plan B.
Amen. Think about that.
That's right.
Good.
Never. People want to say, well, salvation's going to change in the tribulation period. No, it's not. Remember what I told you yesterday? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That is right.
Remember what John 14 says? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Right.
God's got a plan for your life. God wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. God doesn't want you to go to hell.
Right.
He sent His Son to die in your place. He sent His Son so that you could have life eternal instead of death eternal.
Yeah.
Just think about it. I have watched animals die a slow, painful death. I've put a few of them out of their misery. But just think about dying forever. Dying forever.
Yeah.
Just think about separated from God forever.
Right.
knowing that you're never going to get across that great gulf that's been fixed.
Right.
Fixed, brother. I'm glad I got my heart fixed. I got it fixed a long time ago. My heart is fixed. God took away that old stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh, a heart for Him.
Yes,
you see, I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful that we can realize that we can trust God for everything that we need in this life. What kind of salvation do you want? Do you want something that will get you halfway there? Let's just imagine, just for a minute, just for illustration purposes, that you're out in the middle of the river and you fall out of the boat. And your buddy's on shore and he swims out to where you are and he brings you halfway back to shore. Did he save you?
No.
No. He just brought you halfway. You see, Jesus saves all the way.
Yes, sir.
All the way. From this side of eternity to eternity.
Yeah.
When He saves, He does it permanently.
Yes, He does.
Permanent. Just think about it. Never, ever going to change.
Right.
Our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
He reigns from heaven above. Amen. This old book, I'm telling you what, you can talk about it, you can think about it, you can do a lot of things, you know, but it's going to stand forever. There is no doubt about that, this book is going to get there. And you know why? You know why this book is so important? Because it tells you about the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
It's about the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. See, God didn't half save me. God didn't say, well, I'll do part of it and you can do the rest of it.
Right.
He saved me completely.
Yes. Amen.
He saved me for time and He saved me for eternity.
Yes, sir.
And He'll do the same for you.
Yes, sir.
I just want you to know tonight that you can have confidence in what this book says. I can't remember how Rick says it when he teaches Sunday school about you can believe what this book says or something to that nature. But you need to have confidence in this Word of God that it is true from cover to cover.
Yes, sir.
And that He says, if He says, and He does say, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's exactly what it means.
Yes, sir.
That whosoever shall call shall be saved. Just think about it tonight. That means you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He doesn't say that you have to call loudly. Doesn't say you have to call for months and months or weeks and weeks.
Right.
It doesn't say you have to call multiple times. If you just call one time, He'll hear you.
Yeah. Right.
Just one time. If you'll just call. Just call. And you say, preacher, how do I call? How, you know, I can remember when I was lost.
Sure.
I can remember how God dealt with me. I can remember sitting in church and having this feeling inside because I knew that I wasn't saved because the Holy Spirit was doing His job of having those butterflies inside, knowing that something needed to be different.
Yes, sir.
I can remember how it felt. And I can remember the day that Jesus saved me. Now, I don't remember what day it was. I don't know the date. I don't know the month off the top of my head. I know it was long about 7 o'clock, 7:15 in the evening. But I'm not saved by my remembering.
Right.
I'm saved by my trusting.
Yes.
I'm saved because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What day? The day of judgment. What have I committed unto Him? My soul. My soul. That's the only thing I had to give Him. I didn't have anything else. No works of righteousness like was talked about here tonight. I didn't have anything to offer to God. God didn't save me because of who I am. He saved me because of who He is.
Yeah. Amen.
He didn't love me because of who I am. He loved me because of who He is.
Think about that.
And He loves you tonight. Why is it so hard to get it through people's head that God doesn't want to set their fields on fire? That God doesn't want to bring them in the hard way.
Right.
God wants to love you into heaven.
Amen. Yeah.
He really does. He wants to just wrap you up in His arms and just love on you.
Yeah.
Why don't you just trust Him tonight? Just trust Him. You trust your old car. It got you here. You're trusting it to get you home. You trust that the sun's going to rise in the morning. And it will. You trust in so many different ways. We all do.
Yes, we do.
Why don't you trust Jesus? Just trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Trust and obey. Do what the Lord wants you to. Don't leave here the way you came. Christian, if you're burdened down, don't leave the way you came. Lay your burdens down. Lost, if you're here and you don't know Jesus and the forgiveness of sin, for goodness sakes, don't leave the way you came. I can't save you. I would if I could. But I can't. I want a salvation that I know that my sins are gone. My sins are gone. They are all of them behind my back, cast into the depths of the sea. Just think about it. That you can be made new in this place tonight. Christians, you can be made new again. That's what revival is. Remember the other day or yesterday? You know, I think we already been here half a week.
Yeah.
It was just yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You just need a restart.
Yeah.
You just need to start all over again.
Yes. Amen.
Maybe you have failed in the past. I got good news for you tonight. God doesn't have a junk pile.
Right.
Yep. God doesn't have a trash heap.
Amen.
God will just fix you up and let you start all over again.
Yes.
Place of new beginning. Isn't that what revival should be all about? A place of new beginning?
Yes, sir.
Just start all over with God. There is nobody here tonight that hasn't messed up.
Sure.
Nobody here tonight that hasn't failed some God in some way or another. And I will go so far as to say that there's not a one of us here tonight, and counting your pastor and counting me and counting Brother Boyd and Brother Austin sitting back there in the back and every other preacher that's here tonight, every one of us have messed up somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And God just wants us to admit it.
Yes, sir.
Just admit it. Remember what I told you yesterday? God won't heal what you don't reveal.
Right.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
Oh, He's a good God. Do you have salvation tonight? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. I can't move you tonight, but God can.
That's right.
God can. Will you let Him? Let's bow our heads together. Clark, if you'll come. Cheryl, to the piano. You know, I think my Bible still tells me that over in 1 Timothy that God gives us all things richly, all things to enjoy. I think God wants us to be happy in this Christian life. I really do. And friends, tonight if you're here and you don't know Him, Cheryl, go ahead and play when you get ready, when you have something. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Him tonight, it's a big step. I know it is.
Sure.
It's a big step for everybody.
Sure.
But the good news is, you don't have to take it alone. If you'll make the first move, make the first move. If you'll just get ready to get up out of your seat. If you'll just put one foot in front of the other, then God will bring you the rest of the way.
Amen.
He'll bring you the rest of the way.
Amen.
Now, we don't need any secret disciples. Old Nicodemus over there in the story of Jesus in John chapter 3, he was pretty much kind of a secret disciple. But we don't need any secret disciples. We need people who are bold. We need people who will stand on the Word of God. We need people who will witness. We need people who will testify. We need people who aren't ashamed to stand up and proclaim and claim the name of Jesus. So that's why I'm asking you to get out of your seat tonight if you're here and you're lost. I'm asking you to make a public statement. You know, God already knows, and everybody else would like to know if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So why don't you just get up right now? Why don't you just come? What is it that's holding you back? What is it that is so near and dear to your heart that you're not willing to give it up to gain a home in heaven? What is it that you count so valuable? What habit do you have that you think you can't live without? What bottle do you think you can't get along with? What drug do you think that you can't live without? I'm telling you, Jesus will replace all that. He'll come right in and He'll fill up all those empty spaces in your heart and in your life. He'll give you a new desire. He'll give you a new want to. You'll want to come to church. You'll want to serve the Lord. You'll want to testify. You'll want to be what God wants you to be. Because you'll be experiencing that first love. Knowing that your sins are forgiven. That your sins are gone. How about it tonight? Is there anybody here? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. You'd like to just slip out of your seat and just come. Kneel at this old altar and say, Jesus, I'm a vile, wretched sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, I want You to come into my heart and my life and forgive me of my sin. How about it tonight? You see, God's the one who's knocking on your heart's door. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit that knocks on your heart. He's the one that you know. You know you need to come. You know you need to slip out of your seat. You want to, but the devil's telling you not to. The Holy Spirit's saying come, and the devil's saying no. The devil's saying stay. The devil's saying there'll be a better time, there'll be a better place. But there won't be. Why don't you get us settled tonight? Why don't you get us settled tonight? Why don't you come right now? We're waiting on you. Not going to wait all night, just another minute longer. Christians, if you'll be obedient tonight, if God speaks to your heart, you need to find you an altar of prayer, I want you to come right now. Just slip out of your seat and come and find you an altar and just kneel down and pray. Ask God to make out of you what He would have you to be. Work His perfect will in your life. If you'll be obedient, that frees the Holy Spirit to deal with other people's hearts in this place this evening. All right, we're going to stand and sing. The invitation's not over, but I want to invite you to come. Whatever your need might be, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to leave you alone. Let you have a little talk with Jesus if that's what you want. You just come tonight for whatever's on your heart. 293.